Acts 2, verse 40 says that Peter continued to preach for a long time. That's a paraphrase of it. If you have the ESV or you have the King James translation, you're going to see a translation like many other words. But many other words is a way of saying that Peter preached for a long time. Now, I don't know how long Peter normally spoke, but I do know that on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, he preached for a long time. If you were here a few weeks ago, we started to study Acts chapter 2, verses 38 to 47. I mentioned that in at least some translations, you have a series of ands that join together a number of different points. Various circumstances have interfered with that study, but today I think that we are back on track. And as Brian read, our text for today comes from Acts chapter 2 and verse 40. The Bible says, and Peter testified. With that testimony, and he also exhorted those who were listening to him. The plan is to study the word translated testified in Acts 2 and verse 40. Then after lunch, we want to take a look at the word which is rendered exhorted. If you were to look closely at the word which is translated testified in Acts chapter 2 and verse 40, you would find that this term occurs 15 times in the New Testament. We're not going to look at every time which testified occurs in the New Testament, but we will look at most of these places. The first time that we find the word translated testified is also in a book which was written by Luke, but it is the book of Luke instead of the book of Acts. Now, you might not think that someone who has died is going to testify. You might think that someone who has died would be unable to testify. But that's not what we find with this term. The testifying that was done by Peter is also discussed in the 16th chapter of Luke. Now, you may remember that in Luke chapter 16, this is where Jesus talked about two guys who died. One fellow is a guy by the name of Lazarus. The other fellow is unnamed. He's simply identified as a rich man. The rich man enters into eternity. He enters into the Hadean realm, and as he is in that afterlife, he realizes there's no doubt that he failed to properly prepare himself to spend eternity with God. The rich man, maybe in this life, had been able to buy his way out of trouble. When he got into difficulty, maybe because of all of his wealth, he was able to spend some of that and extricate himself from various problems. But his wealth is gone. He's stuck in torment. And as this man is writhing in anguish, he says, I am in anguish in this flame. He thinks about some family members who are still back on the earth. And this man, as he thinks about his family members, he knows that he has five brothers. He's concerned about the spiritual state of his five brothers. And he wants someone, that is Lazarus, to go back and do something. Luke chapter 16, let's see what we have in that 20th verse. He says, in speaking with Abraham, for I have five brethren, that he may go and testify. That's the same word that we find in Acts chapter 2 and verse 40. That he may go and testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Imagine a dead person, someone who has left what we refer to as the land of the living. Imagine someone who has died wanting to come back, or wanting someone else to come back and testify to their family members about the afterlife. One source in defining the word testify said that this word means to declare emphatically. To declare emphatically. There is another source, a respected source, which says that the idea behind this word is to make a solemn confirmation. This is a way of standing up and saying, I want you to know that this is true. I want you to know that this is serious. I want you to know that this is important. I want you to know that this is some information that you need to hear. You need to listen to me because this is essential information. You see, when people die, there is no doubt in their mind about there being a God. After people die, there is no doubt in their mind about the Bible being the Word of God. After people die, there is no longer any doubt about Jesus being the only one who can save from sin. After death, there is no doubt that the churches founded by men are not going to work. After death, there is no doubt about the essentiality of baptism for those who have come into being since the cross of Christ. After death, there is no doubt as to whether or not people need to be a committed Christian as they go through their lives on earth. At least some of the dead, maybe all the dead, but at least some of the dead would like to have someone come back to the earth and testify to their friends, their family members, their loved ones. I'd like to suggest that maybe some of the world's most passionate evangelists would be people who have left this life, people who have gone to the place where the rich man is. Now, some might say, well, if people are that enthused, why doesn't God send them back? That's a good question. Jesus gave the answer to that question at the end of Luke chapter 16. Luke 16 and verse 31 says, if someone came back from the dead, they wouldn't believe him. If people are not willing to believe the scriptures, Jesus said, neither will they believe someone who comes back from the dead. As you look at Acts chapter 2, you find that Peter was testifying for a long time. He used many other words to convict people on the day of Pentecost that he was speaking the truth. Now, I suspect that the man in Luke chapter 16, the rich man, hoped that Lazarus would go back and he also would probably testify for a long time. Were we the rich man, we might have thought, go back and preach not just your best Bible study outline. Go back and not just preach your best sermon, but take two, take five, take ten. Take an armful of lessons and don't stop testifying until they believe you. I want you to convict the people who are still on the earth that this information is the right way to go. That they finally need to come to a point where they realize what they're dealing with as far as the spiritual realm and they need to make the right choices. I wonder how many people have gone to the place of the rich man. And they want that very thing. They know that they are locked into that eternity. They know that there is no hope for them. But they're thinking about, just like the rich man, I have friends, I have neighbors, I have family members, and how I want someone to go back and to testify to those people so that they don't come to the place and the state where I am. Luke chapter 16 makes it clear that the dead cannot come back and testify to the living. If we're going to get that testimony, it has to be from the Word of God. The time to hear that testimony is while we have life on earth. The testifying that was done in Acts chapter 2 was not an isolated event. Sometime later, as we move from Acts chapter 2 to the 8th chapter of Acts, we find that Philip was doing some preaching in the area of Samaria. Peter and John, of course, had come to this area. Philip had done some preaching, teaching, and the apostles needed to come so that they could lay their hands on people who had been converted, and the apostles then were able to transmit supernatural, miraculous gifts. Well, sometime in that process, Peter and John, they've done some preaching, they've interacted with Simon the sorcerer, and it seems like it's about time for them to leave. Acts 8 and verse 25 says that Peter and John, they testified during this time. That is, they preached the gospel. Now, I wonder a little bit as I look at Acts chapter 8 and verse 25, if Peter was still preaching some long-winded sermons. For all I know, he was a long-winded preacher. That may not be true, but at least it's a possibility. And maybe as we think about John as well, maybe he also was a long-winded preacher. Maybe he preached longer than Peter. But testify, as we look at that word, the term which is used in Acts chapter 2 and verse 40, it means to charge. It means to warn. It means to testify. It means to confirm. Now, in our day and time, I've had people say, well, let me give you my testimony. And they have a little story that they want to share about their so-called conversion. That's not what Peter did. That's not what the man in Luke chapter 16 wanted done. And it's not what happened in Acts chapter 8. Testifying means telling people the truth. Testifying means telling people about God. Testifying means telling people about God's word. Testifying means telling people about salvation and sin and the judgment to come. Following along in the book of Acts, I'm going to skip over about 8 chapters from where we were in Acts chapter 2 and find Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 42, we have some information kind of late in the story. We also have that information in Acts chapter 11. But we have Peter. He's the fellow who's preached that long sermon in Acts chapter 2. He's now being sent to a man by the name of Cornelius. Cornelius was, of course, a Greek, a non-Jew. And in Acts chapter 10 and verse 42, Peter, as he gets towards the end of his interaction with this man, we find here the word testify. And he charged us to preach unto the people and to, there's the word, and to testify that this is he who is ordained of God to be the judge of the living and the dead. You see, as that word is used in Scripture, it was designed to confirm, to state, to say that there is, among other things, there is going to one day be a judge. And I've been saddened. Saddened but not surprised by some of the comments from young people. If you followed some of the news recently and you've looked at some of the people who have commented about the tragedy in Florida, you might find young people saying, we don't want your prayers. Enough prayers have been given. We don't want to hear any more prayers. I understand the sentiment that young people are expressing in those words. The sentiment being, of course, that they want actions instead of words. That's certainly understandable. But I also understand that as we look at our society right now, there seems to be less and less focus on God, less and less interest on the divine. God, as we look at him, and as we look at a lot of people right now, he allows himself to be brushed off by people because they do have free will. But before people give God the old heave-ho, and think that we have outlived his usefulness, or we no longer need him, or his word is something of a byproduct for past generations, people need to be clearly told. People need to understand what they're doing. People need to realize that they did not come into this world by accident. They need to realize that we are not here because of chance. There is a God. We are his creation. We are accountable to him. And one day, each individual will stand before him in judgment. Every person who dies outside of Christ, every individual who dies and is not in a right relationship with God, will realize that truth, and there is no second chance. There is still a need to testify in the sense of warn, charge, and affirm what the Bible teaches. That is our job if we are a Christian. Now, it might not surprise us to realize that the word testify is used most often in the book of Acts. Acts, of course, is information about how the first century church started. It has information how the first century church spread, even to the Gentiles, as we look at Acts chapter 10 and Acts chapter 11. The next time that we find this word testify is Acts chapter 18. In Acts chapter 18 and verse 5, the Bible tells us that Paul was testifying. He was testifying to some Jews about Jesus being the Christ. The Lord is the Messiah. He's the only one who can save us from the problem of sin. Two chapters later, in Acts chapter 20 and verse 21, we find that Paul affirmed that he was testifying both to Jews and Greeks. Paul was confirming, he was warning, he was saying that people need to repent of sin. Paul affirmed in that same verse that people must have faith in Jesus Christ. He was affirming, he was warning that the gospel is universal in scope. Then a few verses later, Acts 20 and verse 24, Paul said, I'm testifying about the grace of God. Each of those verses indicates to us that Christians are people who have a message. Now, sometimes there are individuals who, as they think about the Christian faith, they see it as little more than a social club. There are people who, as they look at the Christian faith, they see that as some type of civic organization to do little more than to help the community. God says neither of those ideas is right. God says when we look at the Christian faith that it is a group of people who have a message. And it is a group of people who have a very specific message. Man is lost. Man is separated from God. Man has been cut off from God because of sin. And there's only one path back to God. There's only one way to bridge the gap. That's Jesus. That's through the one church that he created. And that gets us out of the pig pen of sin. God has a way. It's a narrow way. It is a specific way. He has designated a certain way. And any other way is going to cause us to be lost. Now, a lot of people hear that teaching and they say, that offends me. I find that to be very offensive. Offending people by speaking the truth in love is not wrong. Keeping quiet is. We have testimony to share, information that needs to be distributed. You know, when Christians are willing to testify in the sense that we're looking at it today, that is, tell the truth, stand up and describe what the Bible says, God pays attention. Somebody says, well, how do you know that? I know that because the word that we're looking at, it's also used in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 23 and verse 11. This is another occasion. And Paul's once again testifying on this occasion. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer. Well, why would God or the Lord say that to Paul? Be of good cheer, for thou hast testified concerning me at Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. God spoke to the Apostle Paul and said, you have been willing to testify. You've been willing to communicate the truth to people. Imagine getting a personal commendation from Jesus Christ. That's what Paul got. Acts chapter 23 and verse 11. And like Paul, it's our job, it's our duty, our responsibility to also share that information with people. The book of Acts, as you may or may not know, has 28 chapters. In the final chapter of Acts, Acts chapter 28, we come to a time when the Apostle Paul was under house arrest. If you were placed under house arrest, what would you do? There are some people today who have that particular experience. They're placed under house arrest. Paul, of course, did not have any kind of electronic device. There was no TV for him to watch. There was no radio for him to listen to. There was no internet for him to access. What would Paul do if he were placed under house arrest? Well, you might think that he would have some people come visit him. And that's exactly what we find in Acts chapter 8. Why did they come visit him? Paul want to talk about the weather? Did he want to see what the latest news was somewhere in the world? Paul wanted to testify. We know that from Acts chapter 28 and verse 23. And when they had appointed him a day, they came to him in his own lodging. A great number, a lot of people came, to whom he expounded the matter, testifying, there's our word again, the kingdom of God, and persuading them concerning Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets. And then notice these words, from morning till evening. Paul said, I want to testify. I'm going to testify to a lot of people. I'm going to start testifying in the morning, and we're going to go all day long. We're going to go into the evening, if you're willing to stay. And that's exactly what this man did. Now, prior to this time, Paul, as we look at his letters, he spent some time in Thessalonica. As we look at the Thessalonian letter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 6, Paul said, I want you to remember how when I came to you, not that I wanted to see the city sights, not that we just wanted to chit-chat, Paul said, I came to you and I testified about the gospel of Christ. Our world, as we look at it, it has many, many warnings. We have so many warnings being sent to us and given to us, distributed, that oftentimes we look at a warning and we think, well, okay, yes, this one probably matters, and, well, these three do not. People were warned about high water. But, you know, I talked to somebody, didn't obey the high water warning. They thought, oh, it just looks like a little water. I'll just breeze through that. Well, it didn't go that well. We've had winter storm warnings. People say, oh, it's just a little snow. I don't think the ice is that bad. They didn't heed the warnings. The testifying that was done by Peter and Paul and others, it was designed to warn people, to tell people, look, you're on a crash course for eternity. One day you're going to hit eternity. And if you're not prepared, if you're not in a right relationship with God, you will perish. Be prepared. Be ready to go. Sin is serious. The God who made us, each one of us, we are accountable. We are responsible to him. And if we laugh that off, if we slough that off, if we ignore God, we will be in the same spot as the rich man. That's our guarantee. If the rich man in Luke chapter 16 could have a second chance, if that were possible, I wonder if he might not be an excellent evangelist. Maybe someone who, if he could have his wealth restored, would say, it's no longer the good life for me. I'm going to spend my money. I'm going to spend my time. I'm going to give my health and my life to telling people about God. But that man had his opportunity. That man had a number of years to make sure he was right, to share the news with others, and he blew it. And there are each day people continuing to flow into that same area where he is, day after day after day. It's almost like a nonstop process. Sometimes people need many other words, Acts 2 and verse 40, because they're slow to hear and they're slow to obey. Have we heard the testimony from God, the information from his word? Have we believed that testimony, the things that we've talked about this morning? God's word, as we look at it, it can seemingly get buried with all the other messages that are being distributed to us by our world. Whatever people are saying, Scripture still affirms that God's power comes through the gospel, Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Have we been willing to hear that message? Have we been willing to obey that message? And most importantly, are we willing to the best of our ability, share that information with others? We hope so. The testimony is there. It warns us. It convicts us. It stimulates us to do what's right. And if we've not been headed in the right direction, today may be it. There may not be a tomorrow for us. Let's make sure that that testimony has been applied to our lives and we're doing what's right as we stand and sing this selected song.
Crying, 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 crying.